Okay, we're starting here on the top of Pei Gimel and Aleph, about 5 lines down. The Gemara is continuing to search for a proof to the fact that Rav Yosef's answer to Abaye about the position of Sumchus was the Kasavar Achal Shnei Zeitei Chelev Behelem Echad. Person eats 2 Kezeitim of Chelev in one shot. Hayav Shtei Chataot. So where do we get this from? Where do we see this Shita of Sumchus? So the Gemara has gone through a number of iterations. In each case, it's discarded it. Here is the last try of the Gemara, which also will fail to prove the fact that Sumchus authored such a position. Teshma, achal shnei gidim, mishtei yerechot, mishtei behemot. Person ate 2 giden asheh, from the right leg of 2 animals. At this point, we've already moved on to the fact that Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that you're only chayav for the right leg, not for the left leg. Before, in yesterday's daf, when we had spoken to Rabbi Yehuda, we said that Rabbi Yehuda was actually a safek. It's true, originally as a safek, and later on, the Gemara will move in Gidan Asheh, Perek Gidan Asheh, and show us that it was the right side. The proof is actually from this memra that we just quoted right now, which is that it's the right side. Then you have to go back, and that's what the Rishonim did. Tosfot and Rashi mentioned the fact that if that's the case, then what's the question of the Gemara here regarding the 2 sides of the Behemah? The answer is that we should have been able to bring a proof from this Breita that we quoted before about Rabbi Yehuda. If he's only Mechayev you 1 and not none, or Mechayev you 1 and not 2, that should be a proof to the fact that it's only the right side, and so on and so forth. So that's what the Gemara is up to now. Rabbi Yehuda believing that only the right gid is chayav. So if he ate 2 gidim from 2 animals, mishtei meot sofeg shmunim. That's the Tanakama. You get 80, 1 for each gid. Yehuda Marino sofeg alamem. You only get 40. Hechidami, what's the case? Ilim bezecher ze, if it was sequentially, ubishtei atraot and 2 different atraot, my time with Rabbi Yehuda. Why would Rabbi Yehuda say demar arbaim betulo? Why would he say you only chayav 40? He agrees if you eat the right gidan asheh from 2 different behemot that you should be chayav on each. So why did Rabbi Yehuda only say 40 and not 80? Elabshita bevat achat. Must be that it was done simultaneously. Ubechad hatra. And there was only 1 warning for both of these consumptions of the gidan asheh from the 2 behemot. So if that's the case, we understand why Rabbi Yehuda says 1. But then why does the Tanakama say you're chayav for both? Man Tanakama. Ilema rabbanon de paligei alei de sumchus. If it's the rabbanon who argue and our mishnah sumchus. Uma hatam de gufim uchulakim. In our Mishnah was a case where there are 2 gufim, and yet they are still pacha rabbanon hakalo koshikain. Also over here, certainly we have a single hatra'ah about a single isur with a single individual consuming them. Then certainly it should only be 1 isur and 1 lav. Helalav sumchusi, must be that the author of this position is sumchus. And see, you see here that when it's bevat achat and it's helam echad and he eats 2 different pieces of gidan asheh from 2 different animals, he'll be chayav shtayim. It says no, the olam bezecher zeh. No, really, it's sequential. Ukdamar, it's my time with Rabbi Yehuda. If it's sequential, then why would Rabbi Yehuda say 40 and not 80? Why would you be chayav each one independently? Kagon delay be kazayit. There's not a kazayit in 1 of the 2 gidim that you eat. There's not a kazayit worth of the gid that he has consumed. Tetanya achlo veinbo kazayit. He eats the gidan asheh and there's not a kezayit in it, chayav. The Tanakhama believes you're chayav, as Rashi points out, because kasavar briryahi, it's its own unit, it's its own creation, and therefore it has a significance even without a kezayit. The achilo of it is significant without an kezayit. Uvriya in tzricha shiur, whereas Rabbi Yehuda Omer, achi ebo kezayit, he thinks it's a portion of the behema, it's like the flesh of the behema, and therefore will require a kezayit. Rashi does bring an alternative shot, which says, the itam arashe late be kezayit, there was an kezayit, meaning in both of them. Together, they added up to a kezayit. And that's why he's only chayav once. Rashi says that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, because how can you be chayav malkot for 2 different hatraot? We're not mitstaref the 2 hatraot or 2 different violations. If each one's a chatzi kezayit, to bring them together be 1 violation. Either is it in violation or is not in violation. So what we have to suggest, and that's what we explained to Gemara, is that in one case it was a kezayit worth, and that's why he's chayav 40. In the second case, it was not a kezayit worth, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda is poter, but the Tanakhama is mechayev, because he says, birya, sufficient, even below a shear of a kezayit. Okay, the next Mishnah. Arba'a prakim b'shana mocher be'ma l'chaviro. 4 times a year, when a person sells an animal to his friend, tzarich lo dio ima macharti. He has to tell him that I sold his mother already today, l'shchot, bita macharti l'shchot, or I already sold the daughter to be shechted. So the factor of oto be'et mino is relevant at 4 times a year. And that is because Derech Yisrael lasot sudot, that these 4 times a year, Bnei Yisrael generally makes sudot. And number 2 is stam lokeach behema, enu lokeach leshochta miyad. When a person buys a behema, we assume that he's going to shecht it right away. So in this instance, where he's going to shecht it right away, and you've already sold the child or the mother, where you know that that will result in oto be'et mino, you must let the purchaser know so that they are not in violation of oto be'et mino, or beforehand, so it's not a mekach taut. Veilhen, what are those 4 times a year? Erev Yom Tov Acharon Shel Chag, that's Erev Shmini Hatzeret, Ve'erev Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach, before Pesach, Erev Pesach, Ve'erev Atzeret, Erev Shavuot, Ve'erev Rosh Hashanah. Those are the four times of the year where there are marbe b'seudot. Since they're marbe b'seudot, people tend to purchase animals on those days, and you can assume that they're going to shecht it on that day and make it into a seuda. What's obviously that's missing here is Erev Sukkot. Why isn't Erev Sukkot mentioned here amongst these four items? That's another time that you would expect them to have a big seuda. Interesting, Rabbeinu Tam, he says, V'adol choshiv ocho Erev Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Shum the kuli ame trida b'sukko b'lulav. Everybody's involved in the mitzvah of the sukkah lav. Ein lam panai l'arbot b'shchita kol kach. And therefore, they don't dedicate so much time to shchita. They don't dedicate so much time to the suuda. So the suuda of the first days of Sukkot takes a little bit of a back seat to the mitzvot of Sukkot and lulav. But in Shemini Atzeret, where both of those mitzvot aren't available anymore, not a part of it, then the only thing is the suuda. And therefore, the focus of the suuda is much greater when it comes to Shemini Atzeret than when it comes to the first day of Sukkot. Uchedivrei Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Rabbi Yosi Aglili believes that anybody who eats bitshi'i on Erev Yom HaKippurim is ke'ilo hit'anet shi v'chasiris, as if he fasted both the 9th and the 10th, av Erev Yom HaKippurim b'Galil. In Erev Yom Kippur in the Galil, where they used to follow this practice or this position of Rabbi Yosi Aglili, where they used to make a big suda on Erev Yom HaKippurim, so therefore also there, it would be the same din with regards to Erev Yom HaKippurim. The Rabbeinu Tam points out, I don't want to get so involved with the case, from Ketubot, about there's a gzeira about shachet ben of, about shechting birds. And the Gemara there only brings that down with regards to Erev Yom HaKippurim, doesn't bring it with the other four scenarios here. So how come we worry about a suda of of by Erev Yom HaKippurim and not by other places? So Rabbeinu Tam says, when it comes to the four time periods that we mentioned in our Mishnah here, those four times you shecht animals. And that's the generally the suda, big suda. But when it comes to Erev Yom HaKippurim, lo yochlim el basar of v'dagim, they only ate chicken and fish on Erev Yom HaKippurim. Interesting, the Rabbeinu Tam doesn't give any reason for this, but he mentions that on Erev Yom HaKippurim, the meal tended to be one of of and dagim, and not of basar. So even when we hear, we say that it's a Rabbi Yosi Aglili, we have to suggest here that it's talking about a behema, even though that's not the regular occurrence. I mean, it has to be something where they actually ate a behema, even though the normal practice was to eat an of and fish. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Eimatai. When is this true? Bizman Shein Lo Revach. If there wasn't time. I mean, there wasn't any days left between the time he sold it and Yom Tov. Aval yesh lo revach, if there are numerous days, ein tzarich lehodio, then he doesn't have to tell him about it, because, firstly, he doesn't know which day he's going to shecht, and number two is, the likelihood is he shechted it the day he bought it, and after other days, he can shecht on another day. Umode Rabbi Yehuda b'mocher te'eim lechatan, v'et abat lekala, he sold the mother to the groom, and he sold the daughter, the child, to the kala, sh'tzarich lehodio, that you have to tell him, b'yadu sh'shneim shechtim v'yom echad. Because then, even though it's not one of these special days, and even though there's many days left, or they can shecht any time they want, nevertheless, we know they're going to shecht at the same time, because he just gave it to a couple who was about to get married. Interesting, the Gemara will discuss why it is that the mother was sold to the groom, and the daughter to the kala. It's interesting to note that Tosel doesn't know why in the Mishnah it says Umodeh Rabbi Yehuda, because whenever Rabbi Yehuda says Mei Matai, it's Balei Farish. He's not coming to argue on the Tanakama, he's just coming to explain the Tanakama. So who is he being Modeh to? He's not arguing anybody that he has to be Modeh. But what you have to say is that over here, Modeh Rabbi Yehuda means that Rabbi Yehuda's qualification, explanation of the Tanakhama is qualified by this following statement, which is Modeh Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda agrees that that reasoning is qualified by the following statement, which is the Chatan and the Kala. Be'arba'a prakimelu, these same four times a year, mashchitim et tabach val korcho. We force the butcher who owns the animal to shecht an animal, afilu shor sheve elev dinarim, even a great big beefy animal that's worth a thousand of dinar, ve'en lo lokech el dinar, and he only has a purchaser for one dinar of that basar. But since he already put his money down, and he expects to use this for his meal on Yom Tov, kofin oto lishchot, we force him to shecht it. Lefikach, because we force him to shecht, then we mate the lokech. If the animal dies, then it dies and the lokech loses his money. Because it's if he has a kinyan in this animal, he can force the butcher to shecht on his ibiach. Aval b'shar yimot ha'shanayin okein. Any other time of the year, your money is not as if you have a kinyan in the animal. Therefore, if the butcher doesn't want to shecht the animal, he can give you your money back. And therefore, if it dies, the butcher will have to swallow the loss. It won't be your issue. The Gemara will discuss why that is. How is it that you can force the butcher to do this? So Tana, im lo hodio, holeich v'shochet v'enu nimna. Based on our Mishnah, if the seller of the animal to you doesn't tell you that he sold the mother or he sold the child, then you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about the tov ve'epino without a warning. So you can assume that there was no tov ve'epino and you can check the animal on that day. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Imatai. So Gemara says, Lama le dimitne yata aim le chatan veta bat le kala. Why is it that the Mishnah, as if it's a given, that the mother would be sold to the chatan and the child be sold to the kala? Gemara says, Milta agav orche kamash malan, comes to teach us something besides this, some information that was useful to us, dorach aro, that the normal way of people, derech eretz, their common practice is the mitrach beichad natvei mibeichalato, that the groom's house, the chatan's house, does a lot more preparation and puts a lot more into the sudat and the festivities than the kala's house, and therefore they are buying the larger animal. They're buying the mother and not the child. Ve'arba prakim elu, and these four times a year, we say that he has to shech the animal on behalf of this individual, put his money down. Where it says, v'alo mashach, there's no kinyan here. How could he force him to shech that if he never made a mashach, he never had a proper kinyan? It's a case where he actually did have the kinyan. Where it says, I don't understand that. Iyachi ema seif. What are you going to do the last line of the Mishnah? Aval b'shari mota shanayin, okay. Fikach emeit, meit democher. How can you say this? Va mashach. If he did a mashicha, why isn't it like that all year round? He has a kinyan now in the animal. He could force the butcher to shecht it for him. He took a mashicha already. So first of all, why can't he force him to shecht? And number two is, why doesn't he lose his money? He owns the animal. When it dies, he lost his own ownership. The case is where he didn't do mashicha. The butcher gave over the rights to this individual, mezakeh, the kinyan to this individual, through a third party. So we know that a shliach can't act on your behalf to accept a kinyan. But over here, the buyer doesn't know about it. But when the buyer doesn't know about it, we have a principle, which we're about to discuss in a second, which is, zachin shadam shalom b'fanav, you're allowed to do something unto the benefit of an individual, even if he is not aware of it. Whereas, ein chavim l'adam shalom b'fanav, but you cannot do something to the detriment of the individual when he's not aware of it. So over here, barba prakim elu adischut ulo, for these four times a year, where we know it's a schut for him to have the basar, because he needs to eat something for his sudan tonight. So since it's a schut, zachin adam shalom b'fanav, therefore, when the butcher gave it over to this party, the third party accepted it on his behalf, and it was as if he made a kinyan on his behalf. As Rashi says over here, anan sade, we know it's as if it's a given that the nechale, that it's a course that he would want this. It's almost like a given. It is something that we would assume would be true in these cases. Bishar yimot shana, any other time of the year, dechovu lo, that it's to his detriment, because then he'll be locked in, he'll lose the animal, maybe it can get basar somewhere else. Ein chavin adam shelo b'fanav. Then we do not cause him to do his detriment before me. We're not going to make him lose his money because of a kinyan of a third party that he never empowered. Now the last answer is given, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Omer Amar Rabbi Yochanan. It's based on the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. It takes us back to Baba Metzia, where Rabbi Yochanan has a machloket about what's the din de'oraita in terms of kinyan. Rabbi Yochanan believes that a kinyan de'oraita is ma'ot. If you use money, there's a kinyan de'oraita. Why do you need mashicha? That's an institution to Rabbanon. The institution to Rabbanon to protect the purchaser. Because if we said that money was kuneh, the purchaser would put his money down, he would own the property, and it would still be with the mocher. The buyer would buy it, and it would still be in the property of the mocher. All of a sudden, the mocher's property catches fire, says, it's not my stuff, it's the other guy's stuff, I'm not going to go save it. So in order to give imperative to the seller to save the items, we said that mashicha only when there's mashicha. Only when it's come into the possession of the buyer is there a real kinyan, in order to force the mocher also to be responsible for the property until it reaches the hand of the lokeach. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan said. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ba'arba prakim elu heimidu chachamim dvarim al din Torah. The chachamim went back to the din Torah. They eliminated this din derabonon. Dam Rabbi Yochanan, dvar Torah ma'ot konot. In general, the Torah law, the base Torah law, is that if you put money down, you would be koneh. That's a fine kinyan. Umat amamru mishicha konah. Why did they say that by mishicha, you need mishicha to do the kinyan and malut's not enough? Because we're afraid that after he sells it, the mocher will say, your wheat that you just bought for me, that was in that barn that just burnt down. So, yeah, there, it's over there. Go take your property. There's nothing left of it. So in order to prevent that, we say that without mishicha, there is no kinyan, and that would force the mocher then to be responsible for these items. We suspend that din derabonan at crucial times in the year, these four crucial times in the year, where it's to the buyer's benefit to have it come into his possession right away, to be able to force the butcher the shecht on his behalf. And those four times a year, we eliminated the need for mishicha, and we went back to the din d'oraita of ma'ot konot. Right now, next Mishnah. Yom echad hamur ba'oto ve'edbeno, hayom olech achar alayla. When it comes to yom echad, that you're not allowed to shecht both the mother and the child on one day, that oto ve'edbeno, the day goes after the night, meaning the period of called one day that you're not allowed to shecht them is night and then day. But how do we know this? We know this from a gzeira shavu of sots. Itzu derash b'shimon ben zoma. Nemar ba'aseh b'reishit yom echad. My Sabrishita says Vayer Vayvoker Yom Echad. So Erev came before Boker. Venero Otobet Beno Yom Echad. The same phrase of Yom Echad is also used here by Yom Otobet Beno. My Yom Echad Amur B'Maseh Brishit Ayom Alech Achar Alayla. Just like by Maseh Brishit, the day goes after the night. Av Yom Echad Amur B'Otobet Beno Ayom Alech Achar Alayla. The Gemara will discuss now what was the Havamina to be otherwise. Why would you say otherwise? And that's because Rabbanan at Zudarash Rabbi Shimon Ben Zoma. We saw this earlier in Otoved Beno, that the Parsha of Beno is situated right in the context that it's found as Kodoshim. Since the context is Kodoshim, we would think it had the same din Kodoshim. Kodoshim, by Kodoshim, we know that night follows the day. That's actually, the day is the first item, and then the night afterwards. So if you shech the korban in the mikdash that day, you're allowed to eat it that day and that night. Same thing with shlamim. If you have it 2 days in one night, it's the day, that night, and the following day. And then the following night, technically, you can't eat anymore, but you don't have a isser of notar until the following morning. So the night always follows the day, as Rashi points out here. It says, "Bayom korbano yachel, lo yachliniach mimenu ad boker." You eat on the day that you bring the korban, and you can't leave it over to the next morning. Well, the indications of that is that Alma, the Laila, is part of the time that you could eat it, that you could consume it. You can eat it that day, as well as that night afterwards. So you see that the night follows the day. So since Otobet Beno is found in the context of Kodoshim, and in Kodoshim, the night follows the day, I would have thought the same thing about Otobet Beno. Along comes the drusha of Rav Shimon ben Zoma, teaches us Yom Echad like Maaseh Breishit, Laila, and then Yom. It's not like by Kodoshim. Rabbi Omer, Yom Echad, Yom Amyuchad. When it says Yom Echad, it's coming to teach us Yom HaMechud, that special day. So what does it mean, a special day? There are special days that own crews, that need announcements. Mikan Amruv, that's how we had the previous Mishnah, Ba'arba'a Parakim B'Shana, Mokherim B'Heimah, L'Chavirot Tzirich L'Odio. Because on those special days, when there are special days, then you must announce it, you must do something. That means you must announce it, let people know, in order not to be in violation of Otobed Bino. So he darshens Yom Echad for that purpose, and to explain how we got to this issue in the previous Mishnah, necessitating announcements, when there's a high likelihood that people will end up being in violation of Otobet Beno if you don't let them know about this information. Okay, the next parak. Now we move on to Kisui Adam. Now Kisui Adam is Noeg Baretz Ubechutz Laretz. Again, it's Noeg Baretz Ubechutz Laretz is not relevant to us over here because obviously it's a mitzvah shebegufo. Of course it's Noeg Baretz Ubechutz Laretz. Bifnei Abayit Ishlo Bifnei Abayit. Again, something that wouldn't necessarily be relevant to us. We're going to see, again, this series of Mishnayot that have this similar structure. We're going to see, and sometimes it matters, it doesn't matter. In these two cases, it doesn't matter. Bechulin avalo mukdashim. Here it matters. Raz of bechulin avalo mukdashim. Kisui Adam is only noeg yet bechulin and not in mukdashim. Vinoeg bechaya uvaof, and it's only noeg bechayof as opposed to behema. Bimizuman uvshebenu mizuman. That's whether it's domesticated or not, or in the wild. Either one would require a kisui Adam. Rashi says that this is only brought here, agav orchei. It's only brought down here because of shiluch hakein. Because by shiluch hakein, it's only true by enu mizuman. Because it says ki kare lecha, only when you chance upon it, and therefore it's only in cases of enu mizuman. So over here it's coming to teach you that it's both mizuman and enu mizuman, even though we're dealing with ofot over here. Now Tosafot takes issue with that. He says, well, the other mishnayot in these prakim don't have bimizuman shenu mizuman. So it sounds like it's something unique here too, the kisui adam, and not something that's a generic line that's brought down because of its match with other mishnayot. And therefore, Tosfos suggests, v'nir lefarish, de'itzrich lemitnei hocha mishum dechtiv, asher yatsud. We're going to do this on tomorrow's daf, when it says about the need for kisui adam, it says, asher yatsud seid chaya, that you captured it, you went out and hunted it. So it sounds like it's something that was in the wild, and therefore maybe should only apply she'enu mizuman. The Mishnah comes to teach you, it even applies by mizuman, and we'll learn that out from a limud of tzeid in tomorrow's daf. Then when it says, noeg bekoi, mipnei shu safik. By a koi, you would also have to do kisui adam, because we're not sure, again, if it's a chaya or a behema. Since it has this safik, you may as well do kisui adam because you ain't a mafsid. But because of that, ain't shochatim oto b'yom tov. Can't shech to koin yom tov because then you'll be unable to do kisui adam. So if we asking up front, we say don't do the shechita because then you won't be able to do kisui adam misafik on yom tov. V'im shachato ain't mechasim et damo. But if he did do the shechita, then misafik, we don't allow you to either violate muksa or possibly violate yom tov in order to do this kisui adam. So now Gemara asks, Mukdashim, my time alone. Why is it true by Mukdashim that you don't have to do Kisui Adam? I mean, we're talking about Kochim Mizbeach, and the Gemara will later on come on to Kajir Bedek Abayi as well, but why is it by Kochim Mizbeach that they don't require Kisui Adam? I mean, the context of the Parsha of Kisui Adam is in a context of Sefer Vayikra, talking about not eating the Dam because the Dam Hu HaNefesh, and we know by Dam Hu HaNefesh, by the Karbanot, the Dam goes on to the Mizbeach, But why can't that dam also require kisui adam? The Gemara says, Ilem mishum de Rabbi Zeira, maybe it's because Rabbi Zeira dam, Rabbi Zeira hashochet tzarech shetein afar the mato v'afar the malo. In order to do the proper kisui adam, you have to put soft earth. You can't just use the hard earth under it in order to cover and then cover on top of it. You must actually put soft earth underneath it and then soft earth on top of it, because shenera shavachet damo b'chiso be'afar. So there, be'afar means in them. You have to put it into the dirt. Into the dirt means that it's encapsulated on both sides. So afar lo ne'emar, it doesn't say just dirt. Ela be'afar, it has to be encapsulated. You have to have it in both locations. V'achalo efshar. In the mikdash, you can't do that. Heichal abed, what are you going to do? Leitev v'levatle, what are you going to do? You put dirt on the ground or on the mizbeach to capture the blood from the birds that are brought. Remember, the only thing that's going to require kisui adam in the Mishkan or in the Mikdash is the Ofot, because their behemot don't require kisui adam, and there are no chayot in the Mikdash. The only two Ofot, the only two karmenot are Chatat Of and Olat Of. So the question here would be regarding Olat Of and the Chatat Of. Now, even though you do Malika on them, there is no requirement of Shchita by kisui adam, because over there it says V'shafach V'chisa, that you just have to, the blood that is spilled must be covered. So there's no requirement of Shchita, just has to be something that's Ra'u'i La'achila. So if, as long as it's ra'u'i la'achila, and Malika makes it ra'u'i la'achila, that'll be fine. So over here, where you're bringing the birds, and you're spraying the blood on the side of the mizbeach, so what are you going to do? You're going to put dirt down on the mizbeach, so when the blood is sprayed, it'll actually land on this dirt. Well, then you're going to have a problem. Because if you're mevatel it, you're mevatel the dirt to be a part of the mizbeach, kamosiv ha-binyan, then you're adding on to the Beit HaMikdash. You're making another part of the binyan. You're adding dirt to the binyan, v'chtiv. Hakol b'chtav miyad Hashem alai hiskil. That David HaMelech says that he received all the blueprints for the Mikdash from the Navi in Divrei Yamim. So if he had the blueprints, it was all from Hashem. You can't change anything willy-nilly. Rabbeinu Tam says that the problem is ribua, that the Mizbeach must be squared out. And if you put dirt on it, it won't be squared out. Tosafot says he doesn't think that's a good claim. He could just put the dirt on in a way that it would square it out. Gemara says, lo levatle, if you're not mevatel the dirt, kavi chatzitza. Then you have a problem now. When you squirt the blood on Mizbeach and the dirt is not a part of the Mizbeach, then it's a chatzitza between the blood and the Mizbeach, and the blood has to reach the Mizbeach. Gemara says, Nehi de lamata lo efshar. Okay, you can't get the dirt underneath. But even though Rabbi Zeira says that the preferable way to do kisui adam is to have dirt underneath and then place dirt on top of it, nevertheless, if it's impossible, you didn't put dirt underneath, lamata efshar le'aved kisui. We have a din that when it's still possible to do it on top of it, you still do the kisui adam on top of it. Milo tanya, don't have a bright, that Rabbi Yosef omer, shechat chaya. If you first did a chaya, which is chaya and kisui adam, and then afterwards you add a behema on top of it, patur, milchasot. Because now the blood of the behema is on top of the chaya, and that'll prevent you from maybe doing kisui dam on top, because you have the blood of the behema in the way. On the other hand, behema, if you first shech the behema and the blood of the behema on the bottom, and the blood of the chaya sits on top of it, chaya of the chasot, you have to do kisui on top of it. So even though there's the blood of behema sitting below it, so it's not going to have dirt underneath it, so you haven't done the process of putting the dirt underneath, nevertheless, we're going to require you to place dirt on top of it in order to do a kisui adam. Gemara says, Kidi Rabbi Zeira. This is like the din of Rabbi Zeira that we learned in Menachot. Rabbi Zeira, kol aroy l'bila, ein bila me'akevet bo. Anything that can be mixed, then if you don't mix it, it's not me'akev. On the other hand, chol she'ein aroy l'bila, if you cannot mix it, it's impossible to mix it, then bila me'akevet bo. Then the inability to mix it will ruin this korban mincha. So it's said about the size of a mincha that you can bring. You're allowed to bring in a single clay. The biggest mincha you can bring is up to 60 saron. Even though at 60 saron it may not mix, and if you don't mix it, it's not me'akev. Nevertheless, because there's a possibility that you could mix it, the bila, the mixing itself, will not be me'akev the mincha. On the other hand, at 61, where the chachamim were kimlei, that when you hit 61 saron, you could not mix it in a single clay. There, when you don't mix it, it is me'akev because it's impossible to mix it. So the Gemara is answering the same thing over here, by our case of kisui adam. By the case of the beima and the chaya, the normal situation in chulin is that you could put dirt underneath and dirt on top. Just happens to be that in this unique circumstance where you shechted a behema underneath, there's blood of behema underneath, we're not going to then preclude you from putting dirt on top. The dirt on the bottom will not be me'akev, because it could have been there, and it could have been done. It just wasn't done, so therefore it's not me'akev. On the other hand, in the Kodesh, in the Mikdash, to place the dirt underneath is impossible. Since it's impossible, then it's me'akev, and it won't allow you to do it. Tosafot discusses this here, as well as the Menachot, and in other places, about this idea that the word bila appears so many times in Menachot, how come we don't say it's la'akev? So it says, oh, we must need it for some drusha, da-da-da, so on and so forth, and that's why it's not ma'akev. But he says, well, if it's not ma'akev, then how do we know that it has to be ro'uy le'bila? The Tosfos says it's misvara. If the Torah mentions bila, it must want you to do bila. The right way to do it is to do bila. So it has to be ra'oi le'bila. That's the requirement of the Torah. But it's not me'akev. So that's the distinction he's drawing. He's drawing if the Torah prescribes something but doesn't make it me'akev, the idea being that it should be able to do that item, even though it's not me'akev. So by bila, by kisui adam as well, you should be able to put dirt underneath it. If you don't do it, it's not me'akev. But if you can never put dirt underneath it, then you're never going to be able to accomplish kisui adam. All right, we'll stop over here, and we'll continue tomorrow with this idea of other options in terms of kodashim, which the Gemara will continue into the middle of tomorrow's first amud to get to an answer.